Hello, everyone, and welcome. Kim Ja here with you, bringing another In Practopia episode. In Practopia, the People, Places, Things Caribbean show that promotes the continued positive growth of the region. Today, I am over the moon about this episode. It is the first of a two-part series on medical tourism. My guest today, Mr. Robert F. Pretty, will be talking about the investment side in the region of medical tourism in terms of providing infrastructure to give medical services to people in the region and people who visit from outside to get their medical needs taken care of. So I hope you stick around for that. We also have Did You Know? Medical Tourism Caribbean Destinations. We'll end the show with the announcement of next week's guest. And of course, we have announcements. By the downloads that's happening every day, either from the website, iTunes, or Stitcher, we know that you're liking In Practopia. And the other side of it always has to do with the website, being able to get people to come, bring that traffic, and keep them engaged. So we're always looking for ways to improve on the website, and we've fixed it up some again. To be more precise as to what In Practopia is about, what the mission is, we've put in different categories, the subject areas that we cover on the show, and also we've put in a rate and review box under each podcast. We also have it under our video edits and all of our selective posts that we have on the website. So we invite you to, when you get to the website, www.inpractopia.com, use the rate and review option. It's a great engagement tool, and we will be adding pop-ups so that you can see what we're doing continuously to improve the look and feel of the website and to keep you on there for just a tad longer. We're also working on starting up In Practopia Nation, a segment of the website where you can send your pictures in of different places you've been in the Caribbean with a short description and also your name, so we can also give you that prop, big you up on promoting In Practopia and loving what you see on the website. So we invite you to do all of those things. Continuously come to the website, see what we have that's changing, see what we have that's upcoming. We love you for it. So, having said that, let's get the show on the road. It's now time for Did You Know? Medical Tourism Caribbean Islands. Antigua, liposuction, reconstructive surgery, and colonoscopy. The Bahamas, gastric bypass, cancer treatment, and kidney transplant. Barbados, fertility treatments. Bermuda, prostate treatment, dental and cosmetic surgery. Cayman Islands, cardiac surgery, cardiology, and orthopedics. Turks and Caicos Islands, hip replacement. And there you have it, services offered in the different islands for medical tourism. And of course, there are more islands coming on board, offering even a wider range of services in the coming future. So there's the possibility of the Caribbean adding on to its great attributes and its great abilities is, for me, just a marvelous thing. And now I invite you to listen to my chat with Mr. Robert F. Pretty, co-founder and president of American World Clinics, talking about the opportunity that they've taken on to provide world-class health service facilities in the region. Tell us what American World Clinics is all about.
American World Clinics is really about establishing the first truly global brand in healthcare delivery. In other words, there is no organization today that represents a known and definable brand in healthcare that, regardless of where you live, you're aware of and you can access it. And the key word there is access, and access a consistent, high-quality level of healthcare, let's say easily or readily from anywhere in the world. So our objective is to establish a global footprint with multiple healthcare facilities strategically located to make them accessible to the global population. Part of that, or maybe a further definition in terms of our actual service line, is we represent very much the export of U.S. medicine. We are predicated on having a medical staff that is strongly based with U.S.-trained, board-certified physicians. Likewise, physicians of equal training from other jurisdictions. And particularly, whatever country or region we are in, physicians that are local as a part of our organization as well.
Is that something where doctors and physicians have to gain membership to or apply to be a part of?
They very definitely have to apply to be a part of and to be able to meet our credentialing standards. At the same time, we have different types of relationships in terms of we have some physicians who work for us full-time. We have some specialists who rotate on a certain schedule on an annual basis. And then for local physicians in different jurisdictions, they already have a medical practice. They already have a medical office. They may not wish to leave that, but they may want to use our facilities because of perhaps some of the equipment or other staff that we have to support them that's not readily available for them today. And so they can work with us in different capacities as well.
Okay. So American World Clinics has taken its business down to the Caribbean under this medical tourism umbrella. What exactly is medical tourism?
That's a good question, Kim. I'm glad you asked that because medical tourism is somewhat confused when you talk to people about it in different places, or maybe I should just say it's defined differently in different places. Overall, globally, medical tourism tends to be perceived as local facilities who have made a decision, or I should say local entities, physicians, hospitals, governments, they've made a decision that they want to expand their tourism base and utilize provision of medical services to do that. We see that model as being somewhat at conflict with local healthcare, that very often resources, facilities, physicians are taken out of the local market to do this, and we believe that a different model is more successful, not just for us, but for the local community as well, because we focus on medical tourism. We focus on local patients who are currently leaving the marketplace. For example, in different countries we talk to, several million dollars leave those countries every year simply because they don't have the resources to treat certain kinds of diseases that their populations have, or they may not have access to a certain equipment that is most appropriate for that treatment. When we can provide those things, we allow them to keep those patients in country. And that saves the country and the patient significantly, both in terms of real dollars, but also in terms of time and, you know, the hassle factor. If you don't have to travel outside your country to get care, if you can stay in your own home while you're getting care, it's much more comfortable and convenient. The other thing we see is this. In many Caribbean nations, there are populations, individuals in there, a lot of high net worth individuals who do regularly travel to places in the United States, in Canada, in the UK or Western Europe for their medical care. Our conversations with those people have indicated that they would prefer to come to us because they're going, again, for certain specialized types of services or for a certain type of physician that may or may not be available in the home country. If we can provide those services, those specialties, those types of physicians, they would rather stay locally. So that really it eliminates a certain foreign exchange drain that some of these countries are seeing today.
You know, Bob, I'm so glad you're saying that and focusing on the local people being able to take advantage of specialized treatments in their homes, because I've done quite a bit of reading on medical tourism, and there are a lot of people who are, I don't know if they're against it, but they tend to take the slant that medical tourism is for people from the US, from Canada, from the UK to come to the Caribbean and get those, to get that medical attention, but that local people don't have access to it. And I'm glad you've cleared that up, that local people, yes, it's for them as well, not just for people coming in and taking, get their medical needs taken care of, and of course have a vacation at the same time. So yes. I'm glad that you're bringing that up. But why do business in the Caribbean?
It's a beautiful place. The people are friendly. It's a tourist destination. People want to go there. What's happening, and it's interesting. I'll digress maybe just a little bit in terms of answering your question, but what's happening is overall around the world, globally, traveling tourist populations are getting older, and those individuals are concerned about their health care. Mm-hmm. We've talked to other developments who've told us that they are experiencing a tourist challenge in that some of their past clients are stopping coming to visit with them because they're concerned about their health care and the ability to get coverage or to manage a chronic condition. So we see a great opportunity in the Caribbean because of the overall demographic shift that is occurring. Now, beyond that, when you do talk about medical tourism, and maybe I'll say traditional medical tourism, a lot of what you hear and read in the media is about patients leaving the United States or Canada, going to the Middle East, to India, to other destinations. Friends of mine in that industry who manage that type of care have been shifting their focus over the last 5 or 6 years away from sending people to those destinations and toward looking for destinations that are inside the U.S., inside Canada, so that they can overcome some of the barriers to sending people 13, 14 time zones away. They have started encountering different types of problems, as well as just a bit of patient pushback. I don't want to have to fly to India to get my hip replaced. That is a problem. I don't know the physician there. I don't know the culture there. It's a difficult place for me in my mind to have to go to for something as significant as a surgical procedure. So when we've talked to those people and said, what if we were in Barbados? What if we were in the Bahamas? What if we were in Trinidad, the Dominican Republic, other locations such as that, or Costa Rica? Then they say, and I should also say, predicated on our business model, the export of U.S. medicine. Well, now you're not going through half a dozen or a dozen time zones. You're very possibly staying in the time zone you live in. You're looking at most a 3.5 or 4 hour flight offshore to that destination. We're looking at, culturally, we're comfortable with the Caribbean. We feel akin to the Caribbean, and it's a place we know and like to go. So there are a lot of attractions in that sense, coupled with, like I say, the fact that there are already tourists coming here. Let's just shift a few of those over to medical tourism, and effectively open an entirely new economic sector.
And I was going to ask you about the benefits, but I think you've covered them. You know, there's the shortened time, travel time, staying in your time zone. Of course, the Caribbean being wonderful, people already come use it for tourism. And let's talk a little bit about the kind of medical, major medical that medical tourism provides in the Caribbean. People might think these are small islands, we're not advanced in medicine. And I'm seeing that, like you said, countries are offering their services as medical tourism destinations. What are some of the major kinds of surgeries that medical tourism can offer in the Caribbean?
Well, you know, a friend of ours who's involved in healthcare in the Caribbean for many years made a statement to us one day. There's no shortage of very high quality physicians in the Caribbean, but there is a shortage of facilities and equipment. And so our perspective is we bring that facility and we bring that equipment. Our objective is to be Joint Commission International accredited with all of our facilities and to have the most advanced, and let me say appropriately advanced, technologies available. Everything that's brand new isn't always the best, but often you want to have the latest appropriate technology. So with that, we're able to do, well, literally any procedure that's done in the U.S. Now, simply from an efficacy standpoint, or just, you know, simply from a standpoint of practicing good medicine, we were having a business conversation yesterday talking about different kinds of procedures with some individuals and saying it's not that you can't do a procedure, it's that you expect to do a certain number to maintain your proficiency. If you can't do that number, you shouldn't be doing it. Open heart surgeries, for example, if you can't do, if the team that's involved in that, it's not just a physician, but the entire open heart team, if that team's not doing a minimum of 100 procedures a year, you have to question the overall quality of care that's being administered there. So anything can be done. It's picking and choosing of what makes the most sense, as well as if we're talking about individuals who are ill, is it appropriate for them to travel at all to come to us, not just to receive the procedure? Mm-hmm. So in looking at that, the focus then starts to shift a little bit. So like I say, you can do anything with the physicians and the facilities that you have, but you start to look at what are things that aren't life-threatening, but are serious and major. Total hip replacements, total knee, total joints in general. These are things that aren't usually emergent, but they are conditions that evolve over time, and they seriously affect quality of life. Individuals want to have them done. Those are large case procedures that we can do very comfortably in a medical tourism environment. The patient stays on island for perhaps 10 days, perhaps a little bit longer before they travel home. We maintain a relationship with them after they go home to help manage their recovery, and those types of things can be done very appropriately. Now, add to that bariatric surgery, different types of ophthalmological surgeries, GI, gastrointestinal, general surgeries, GYN surgeries, plastic surgery, different types of cosmetic surgeries, spine surgery. Those are levels of things that can be done that in some of the Caribbean countries they aren't being done right now. In some they are, but the resources are limited, much more limited than you would have in most cities in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you talked a lot about areas of specialization, what kinds of surgeries can be done. Mm-hmm. Where is American World Clinics operating in the Caribbean?
We are looking at building our first facilities, and we have been in conversations in Barbados, in Dominican Republic, in the Bahamas, in Trinidad, Tobago, Costa Rica. And we see our conversations expanding on a daily basis. The interesting thing about the Caribbean, when you're in the United States and you talk about the Caribbean, people often think you're talking about a little place. But the Caribbean is an extremely large section of the Western Hemisphere and with a very significant population. Mm-hmm. As I commented to a person I was on the phone with earlier today, conceivably you could have an American World Clinics presence on every island in the Caribbean, and that would not adversely affect the market. It would positively affect local health care, and it would truly serve as I'll say turning the Caribbean into a different type of destination for people from all over the world.
You know, I say that the Caribbean is the next big thing for everything that's happening in the world. And it's something that I've had the conviction about for a while, which is why I'm doing in Impractopia, to share the Caribbean, the social and the human side of the Caribbean, not just the tourism aspect of it, that the Caribbean has so much to offer and people are coming to it for different reasons. And I want to be able to understand why, to share with people more about the Caribbean. And yeah, and American World Connects, I agree. The Caribbean has like 41 million people. Mm-hmm. And it's not even grossly populated. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for a lot of good, and I want to be a part of that. I want to know what's happening to make all of that a reality. So I assume that governments are giving you good reception. Locals are embracing the idea of having world-class medical facilities on their soil, right?
Yes, they are. Everyone is very excited because they see the opportunity, and particularly, you know, again, the difference between the classical perception of medical tourism as a bit of a using industry versus a giving industry. And when we talk to them about our approach, when we talk about including and involving local physicians, local medical communities in our facilities, when we talk about eliminating the need, or let's say much of the need, for patients to be sent to the United States or Canada for healthcare, when we talk about retaining those patients today, those citizens who are leaving because they choose to, who very likely would not. And then when we look at the halo effect, for example, when we look at our facilities, we plan different types of facilities for different countries, different needs, different opportunities, based on the local population, based on current local healthcare delivery, based on their focus on travel and tourism. And so we have different sizes, different scopes of facilities. We've developed with some of our architectural advisors sort of a modular approach to developing a hospital presence that has a certain core that is surgical specialty focused. And to that core, we can add different types of components to fit the needs of the local community or the host nation. So in looking at that, when we put together a facility that is in the $175 million U.S. Range, we anticipate a facility like that to contribute back to the local economy about $450 million a year. And that is a significant impact, positive impact in terms of gross domestic product for that country. We have looked at some of our statistics where in some countries we literally increase the GDP by as much as 7% a year. We increase local employment, and through our halo effect, medical travelers don't travel alone. They always travel with an accompanying caregiver, mm-hmm. you know, a spouse, a friend, someone. Well, if you look at an average stay in country of 10 to 14 days, that patient and that other individual will be in hotel rooms during most of that period. The accompanying individual will be in a hotel room and eating at restaurants the entire time. And the patient, out of, let's say, an average 14-day stay, between 11 and 12 of those days, the patient will be in a hotel. So it significantly affects local tourism. And statistics from a variety of sources have shown medical tourists tend to spend more money than regular tourists. They come with a different expectation, and they tend to be often a little more affluent, and they tend to have reached higher educational levels, and they therefore spend more money.
I love that. It's a win-win for everybody.
It is.
I love the promotion of business, but I love that local people equally benefit from it, and it helps grow. It helps grow the economy. It helps grow community, and I really love that. So when do you expect some of this good stuff and filtering to start happening in the Caribbean with some of your facilities?
Well, we're trying to close out our financing requirements over the next few months. We could, depending on governmental actions and what some of the governments do and how quickly they can move, we could actually be seeing patients in as little as 12 months. And at the same time, as I've said, we have different locations we've targeted. We are actively trying to bring about three of those up somewhat simultaneously, so that over the span of a, let's say, a 24-month span, you could have perhaps three facilities. I say 24-month span, not a starting now and 24 months out, but overall during a 24-month timeline. If we started two or three facilities within a window of 24 months in the future, all three of those could potentially come on board in that timeline. Once that happens, again, our focus is to represent the global brand. And we have had conversations with people all over the world. Once this starts to move, we think it will start to move very quickly.
And once that happens, American World Clinics really does take charge of the marketing and driving people to the Caribbean, driving people to those facilities to get the medical attention that they need.
That's right. That's exactly right. I mean, the Caribbean can become truly a destination hub for health, wellness, and medicine. And that's our objective, is to be a part of that developmental process.
Okay. What does the future look like for medical tourism in the region?
Well, I think it's only going to grow and expand. That there are, you know, global economic factors. At any given time in the United Kingdom, there are nearly 2 million people sitting in, quote-unquote, the queue to get into the National Health Service. A lot of those individuals are, I'm going to say like me, they're senior citizens or approaching senior citizens. I guess maybe I'm an approaching senior citizen who in that, you know, in the NHS are maybe second level in terms of being able to access things like hip replacements, being able to access different types of surgeries. Oncology will be a significant focus for many of our facilities. Oncology care outside the United States is very different from inside the United States. And so we see those as significant drivers that will start to change the way people get health care. When you start looking, you know, talk to Virgin Atlantic and talk to American and talk to the different airlines and look at the air travel coming into the Caribbean, it's an easy place and becoming an easier place to get to. And so I think all of those factors come together. Health systems around the world are having trouble and causing them to ration care. As that happens, patients are going to look for the best available care that is competitively priced. Different studies today say that there are 6 or 7 million people every single year who leave their home countries for health care. Most of those people are in North America and Western Europe. They're right next to the Caribbean, so to speak. So there is an enormous opportunity for that.
Oh, thank you so much, Bob. I'm just so pumped. I get really, really excited just to talk about where I'm from and what people are doing to help make it better. So, you know, paradise, it's already that. If we can make
That's
it
right.
a perfect paradise, then I'm all for it.
That's right. And we're here to help.
I can't say enough how happy I am that, one, Mr. Pretty even took my call, liked my pitch for Impractopia and what the show is about, and having this very informative conversation with me about medical tourism and what American World Clinics is hoping to be able to do in the Caribbean, his whole optimism for their ventures. And I know they will be very successful at it. He even went a step further in making that connection with Dr. Juliet Skinner, who's going to be my guest next week, to talk to me about the Barbados Fertility Center and what they're doing under medical tourism and the great achievements, the great things that they've been able to achieve in a few years. So I want to thank Mr. Pretty again for doing not one, but two great things for Impractopia. Now it's time for our Ode to the Caribbean quote. This one by Dr. Paul Angelchik, co-founder, CEO, American World Clinics, who said, "The opportunity for the Caribbean in general is that it carries a positive connotation in the view of many for having friendly people, natural beauty, and a reputation as an enjoyable, upscale destination with great visitor amenities in many locations. I have no doubt that the Caribbean can be a major region for medical tourism activities if there is follow-through on the initial buzz of enthusiasm that has defined the region to date." Well, I believe that medical tourism is going to be a force to be reckoned with in the Caribbean for many, many years to come. Next week, we have the second of our two-part series on medical tourism, and my guest will be Dr. Juliet Skinner, director of the Barbados Fertility Center. And I hope you come around as always. It's going to be very informative. I know you will enjoy that one. Well, that's our show for today. Don't forget always to download on iTunes and Stitcher, and of course, come to the website. You can listen to it there. Please rate and write a review on the episodes. Please make it more than one. And I will be right here next time in Impractopia.